and through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up and did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That, my friends, is the true hope of Christmas, okay? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, and we do have childcare tonight, so if anybody wants the kids to go to the classroom, the teachers in the classroom, okay? Amen? Just in case you need it. So can you guys believe it? It seems like just yesterday, right? We started the Advent season, right? And it's already Christmas, amen? And for those who still may not know what Advent is, you know, it's the four Sundays that lead up to Christmas Day, amen? And this year, our fourth Sunday of Advent has led us to Christmas Eve. Praise God, right? And our worship, of course, our worship music, we've been playing Christmas music all month, right? Preparing our hearts and preparing our minds for Jesus and this season of Advent. Amen? So Advent is defined as the arrival of a notable thing, an event or a person. And for us as Christians, we celebrate all three, okay? We celebrate all three. The thing we celebrate is the joyous adventure that we're on that leads to something exciting. And the event that we celebrate, of course, is Christmas Day. And the birthday of a special person. And the person that we celebrate is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he is a person, amen? Three in one, the Trinity, amen? He is a person. It's a special time of the year where our hearts are usually a little more joyous, right? Hopefully, amen? Hopefully. And if we don't allow the hustle and the bustle of the world's hectic race to get that perfect gift, maybe, right? Or even shopping as late as tonight, right? Shopping tonight on Christmas Eve, right? But if we step back and we look at the real reason that we celebrate, the true reason for the season, amen? Our hearts are much happier. Our hearts are much happier. We smile more, hopefully, right? We smile more. Hopefully we get a little closer to those that we love. Hopefully, amen? And hopefully we just receive that joy. And that's a subject for today's message, amen? The hope of Christmas. It's the hope of Christmas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the birth of your Son this Christmas Eve, fill our hearts, Lord, with the joy that comes from knowing him. May the joy of Christmas be a constant presence in our lives, reminding us of the true source of happiness found only in Jesus Christ. And Lord, let us share this joy with others, and let us also be a reflection of your love in the world. Amen. 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 So Christmas is a time of celebration, right? Amen? It's a time of celebration, and even those who don't believe in the birth of Jesus, they still take the time to enjoy themselves and celebrate at Christmas time. Amen? And they might not celebrate Christmas for the same reasons that Christians do, but the world does celebrate. The world does celebrate. Even Jewish families celebrate Christmas. One man who was born into a Jewish family told this story, and he said, "Even though we were Jewish, we always celebrated Christmas." He says, "We had a Christmas tree. We had Christmas decorations. We sent and received Christmas cards. We ate Christmas dinner, and we got Christmas gifts." Sounds just like all of us, huh? He said, but my parents never mentioned the real reason for Christmas. Growing up, as far as I was concerned, he said, Jesus was no more than a picture of a baby on a Christmas card. Christmas was a celebration of Santa Claus, not the birth of Christ. He said, I was a Jew. I was waiting for the Messiah to come. No one thought to tell me that he had already come. No one told me that the Savior of the world had been born and that Christmas was a celebration of his birth, his birthday. Although Christmas was full of celebration, it was empty of any association with Christ Jesus. Sadly, that's a fact for so many in the world today. Amen? They experience a Christmas without Christ. They may have a very happy Christmas by the world standards, but they don't understand the real reason for the season that brings true joy to our hearts. And so today, I not only want to talk about the hope of Christmas, but I want to share some other aspects of Christmas that I feel are extremely important if we really want to take in every moment of this Advent season. The first thing I want to mention is the reality of Christmas. Maybe it'd be a good thing for all of us to come back to reality. Amen? The reality of Christmas. And speaking of coming back to reality, there's a story that's told of three men who began talking one day about their wives. The first man said, when we got married, I told my wife in no uncertain terms that from now on, she would have to do all the cooking. Well, the first day after I told her, I saw nothing. The second day, I saw nothing. But on the third day, when I came home from work, the table was set, a wonderful, wonderful dinner was prepared, and there was even dessert on the table. The second man spoke up and he said, well, I sat my wife down and I told her that from now on, she has to do all the shopping and she has to do all the cleaning. The first day, he said, I saw nothing. The second day, I saw nothing. But on the third day, when I came home, the whole house was spotless. And in the pantry, the shelves were filled with groceries. Third man sat up straight. He pushed his chest out. And he said, I gave my wife a stern look, and I told her that from now on, she would have to do all the cooking, all the shopping, and all the house cleaning. Well, the first day I saw nothing. The second day I still saw nothing. But on the third day I could see just a little bit out of my left eye. Right? That's what my wife told me I'd get if I told her that, you know? Just a little bit out of my left eye. Amen? Point is, more than anyone, we as Christians need to know that the reality of Christmas is that Christ has come. Amen. That's the reality. Amen. The Messiah has been born. Jesus stepped out of eternity and into the form of a human baby, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. God has come. Christ has come. And at the right time, as God planned, amen, Christ came. Church tradition says we remember the birth of Christ on the 25th of December. And we had a little conversation about this in Bible study a couple weeks ago. But Pope Julius I in 350 AD, of course, decided the 25th of December was going to be Christ's birthday. Amen? But many historians say that Jesus was probably born in March or April because neither shepherds or sheep would have been out in the fields in the deep midwinter. But then other articles I read said it's not always a deep, snowy winter in that area. Amen? But the actual specific date and day of the birth of Jesus are not important. Amen? What is important is that we believe that his birth really happened. That's what's important. Amen? And so I have to ask you, do you really and truly believe, amen, that Jesus was really born of a virgin named Mary first? Amen? Do you really believe that Jesus was an actual baby that laid in a manger at his birth? Yes, we do. Amen? And if you're not sure of that, then we're going to tell you that it was an actual day and date that is lost to history. Amen? That day and date is lost to history, but the reality of Christmas actually took place. We can be sure of that. We can be sure of God's word. And whether it was in the bleak midwinter or in spring or during the heat of summer or during autumn, Christ was born. Christ was born. And we know it was in the evening. We know it was in Bethlehem. And we know it happened in the stable where the animals were kept. That is where the Son of God was born. Doesn't matter what the date was. And as a Christian, we need to realize and believe the reality of Christmas happened. Not in a palace, right? Not in a palace, not in a hospital, or where anyone writing a story would use for a suitable birthplace, right? This isn't a story. This is a true story. Amen. The reality of Christmas took place in a dirty, smelly stable. A dirty, smelly stable. The stable might have possibly been a cave or a cutout in the mountainside, but you know there's an important message in this. This should remind us all that no place is too common for Jesus, right? No place is too common for Jesus. Just like no place is too common for us to go out in outreach to the world. Amen? And also, in all of this, our hope lies. And that's why hope is an important part of the Advent season. It's an important part. Let's talk a bit about the hope of Christmas, okay? What's the difference between hoping for something and wishing for something? Well, it's like the way author Eugene Peterson explained. He said the difference between hoping for something and wishing for something, he says, was, and he talks about it in his book, Living the Message. Amen? It says daily help for the living God, for living the God-centered life. And he points out that what a lot of people call hope is in reality different, okay? It's wishing, not hoping. And wishing and hoping are not the same thing. Wishing, Peterson says, is something that all of us do. We all wish, okay? All the world wishes. It projects what we want to think or what we need into the future. Just because we wish for something good or holy, we think it qualifies as hope. It does not. He said, wishing extends our egos into the future. Hope grows out of our faith. Hope, amen. Hope is oriented towards what God is doing.
That's right.
Amen? Towards what God is doing. Wishing is oriented towards what we're doing. The flesh. Amen? That's wishing. So he goes on to say that we can picture wishing as though it were a line coming out from us with an arrow on the end pointing into the future. Pointing towards that thing that we most want to possess. Right? Hope is just the opposite. It's a line that comes from God out of the future with its arrow pointing towards us. Amen? Arrow pointing towards us. Hope, he continues, means being surprised because we don't know what is best for us or how our lives are going to be completed. To cultivate hope is to suppress wishing. To refuse to fantasize about what we want, but live in anticipation of what God is going to do next in our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, "My hope lives, not because I am not a sinner, but because I am a sinner for whom Christ died."
Amen.
Amen? That's why our hope should live, because Christ died for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "God has great plans for us who hope in him." Excuse me. Maybe the first Christmas was very different from what Mary had hoped for. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was not an easy one. Even for a person in peak physical fitness, it would have taken its toll. But for a woman who was 9 months pregnant, that journey was probably a nightmare. Amen? Maybe Mary had hoped Joseph would have been able to find them somewhere nice to stay when they reached Bethlehem, like maybe the Sheridan Inn or something, right? Amen? Maybe she had hoped that there would be someone to assist in the birth. Maybe she had hoped for a comfortable bed rather than a bed of straw. Maybe Mary had hoped for I'm sure the moment Jesus, whatever Mary had hoped for, I'm sure the moment Jesus was born, Mary knew that Jesus was worth everything, right? Everything she had endured, Jesus was worth that. And so during this Advent season, we sing of this miraculous birth, right? We sing, O little town of Bethlehem. Listening to the opening words of this Christmas carol, it says, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Those words could have been the prayer and praise in Mary's heart that night. Amen? They should have been and they could have been. The hope of Christmas shows us that we can place our hope and faith and trust in God. Do you need to be reminded of this? I think sometimes we all need to be reminded of this. Amen? We all need to be reminded. Remember, Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Amen? Who have been called according to his good purpose. When Christ was born, so was our hope. Because Christ came, God is always now near us. He's always near us. He is always for us, and he is always in us. Jesus understands what you feel, and he knows what you face. That's why he died on the cross. Amen? He knows what we feel, and he knows what we face. We have a hope that's steadfast and certain. God can use times of difficulty and struggles in our lives. He can use all those times to accomplish his will and his purpose. When we ask, oh, why did we have to go through this or that? God uses all things for his good. Amen? The certain hope of Christmas is that God sent his only son, Jesus, to bear our burdens and to save us from our sins. Amen. And that, my friends, is a miracle in and of itself. Amen? So let's talk about the miracle of Christmas now, okay? The miracle of Christmas is that Jesus was born to save us from our sins. That is the miracle of Christmas. Some may say, well, why the nativity? Because God loves us, right? Because God loves us. He loves us all unconditionally, right? Agape love. That's why the nativity. Romans 3:22 through 24 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Right? We have a choice. We have free will. The righteousness of God is not ours by faith. It is ours through faith. Through faith. We do not earn righteousness by our faith. We receive righteousness through the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest gift ever given. The miracle of Christmas means that we all have a Savior. The miracle of Christmas is the free gift of salvation to all who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The miracle of Christmas is Jesus entered the world to save all of us, amen? To save us from our sins. So, the reality of Christmas is that the Savior has come. The Savior has come. The certain hope of Christmas is that the Savior has come. And the miracle of Christmas is that the Savior has come. God has shown his love for you by sending his only Son, Jesus, to take away your sins. All who trust in Jesus have been saved from the guilt of our sin, and we have been saved from the punishment for sin. Praise God. 1 John 4:10 reminds us, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What greater gift? What greater gift? The baby Jesus grew to be the man who became the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus took the punishment for our sin in his death on the cross. He endured what we should have endured. He paid the ultimate price to save us. What greater gift? What greater gift? Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. What greater gift? Thank you, Jesus is right. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ suffered for our sins once and for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. What greater hope? What greater hope? The message of Christ is that our Savior has come. We have a Savior whose body was broken, whose blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins. What greater hope? Jesus was born to die in your place, in my place. Jesus paid the penalty so that our sins could be forgiven. Jesus conquered death. He rose from the grave, and in him and him alone, we have the promise of eternal life and peace with God. Eternal life. There was no other way. There was no other way. And so we put forth an effort today and every Advent season to look forward in anticipation for the coming of the Savior of the world. Because our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Maranatha, right? Amen? It could be today. That, my friends, is the true hope of Christmas. Amen? So I hope we all enjoy and remember the true hope, the true meaning, the true miracle of Christmas. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that our hope no longer has to lie in the things of this world, but that it lies in the one true thing that no one can take away from us, the greatest gift ever given by you, Lord, our Father, who loves us, the gift of salvation, Emmanuel, God with us. And thank you, Father, for the peace that we receive all year round as we live in a relationship with our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. May you go before us in all we do, Father, not only in this season, but in every season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.